Welcome to the Embracing Race podcast. All episodes were recorded in advance, so don't be alarmed if the timeline seems a little bit cattywampus.
What's up? This is another episode of Embracing Race, conversations with truth and intention, and we have a guest today, so I'm really excited about that. My name is Shawnee. I am your co-host. My pronouns are she, her. Jesse?
My name's Jesse, and my pronouns are they, them, and our first guest of the new year is Brian Wilcombe, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Brian?
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Brian Wilcombe. My pronouns are he, him. Coming to you live from the country in northwestern Wisconsin, about an hour and a half from Minneapolis, St. Paul. We have three kids, two cats, and five chickens that miraculously are still alive because the kids feed them.
I met Brian, y'all, for those who don't know. Did we talk about this last year, Jesse? I think we kind of like some episodes we did, some we didn't. I just was like very overwhelmed. But in 2023, I got the opportunity to be a seed fellow through their Faith and Lead program. It was a 9-month accelerator program where it helps ministry entrepreneurs get more skills to do the damn thing. Met Brian and was just an amazing spirit and has this ministry called Beer Church, which we'll get into. We can start right there because we have three topics. If y'all don't know, if y'all have been listening, Jesse and I have three topics. We talk about Jesus, and then we talk about pop culture, and then we talk about political shit. I don't know if we'll get to political shit today because
we did a lot of political shit last time. So it's all
and good. We don't really have to, right? There's nothing. I mean, yeah. So with that
you
being
picked an interesting year to talk about political shit.
Yeah. I know, right? but I love your story, Brian. And if you could just, you know, walk us through how you got to Beer Church coming from growing up Catholic.
Well, the church has a long history with fermented beverages. just real talk with the monks and the abbeys and the everything. But that's a great, I don't think anyone's ever asked me that specific question. How did I get to Beer Church after being raised Catholic? And man, you know, it was just Catholic, like every Sunday, we didn't miss a mass. I was raised in a very committed Catholic home in central Wisconsin. And yeah, you know, we were pretty involved and that was cool. I went off to college and got involved in some evangelical college campus ministries, you know, learned how to share the gospel, learned how to actually read the Bible for myself. But that was part of it. Kind of left that, got into youth ministry. I've done youth ministry for over, 10 years. And then for a little bit in there, I sold craft beer. So that brought me into the world of fine beer and good beer. I went from, you know, drinking the light stuff to drinking the IPAs and stouts and porters and all sorts of good things. And so, yeah, that kind of just is where things a bit started to change. I tried working at a Catholic camp, tried going back to Catholicism. That didn't work out so well. Now I find myself a little bit more in the Lutheran world, in the ELCA Lutheran world. But like my friend Shaniqua Walker Barnes says in her talk, I feel like I'm a fitless Christian, and I still trying to find my place. So hopefully, we've been doing Beer Church for 2 years now, but I love beer and Jesus. That's the short answer.
I love it. Tell me more. Okay, so what is Beer Church? Like, where is it located? Because, you know, I hope when people hear this, and if they're in that area, like they go, or even if they're not in the area, that they can support your ministry. So can you tell us a little bit more about like how that came to be? I know it's like two passions, but.
Yeah, like, no, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. So we meet once a month at a brewery in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So we meet monthly, and then we just started meeting. We just had our second Beer Church Minneapolis actually last week. So we're starting to meet more frequently at Broken Clock Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis. And it's not a worship service, it's conversational church, table-centered, all about kind of the community and just faith conversations in a judgment-free space.
Love it.
Yeah.
What are some of the questions that come to you?
We've tried to host all different. So this is about just elevating kind of forgotten voices too for me, and voices that we don't hear as much on maybe a Sunday morning. And so, yeah, we've had people from all over the place, podcasters, authors, nonprofit leaders. We talked about white privilege last month. We've talked about the Hispanic and Latina communities and how to be better neighbors. Oshita Moore, author of Dear White Peacemakers, just spoke at Beer Church Minneapolis about beloved community. We talked about deconstruction. We talked about spiritual resilience. My wife, Anna, spoke at one point, which she did not want to do. She works in an elementary school as a speech therapist and talked about the intersection of helping kids find their voice and faith too. So we've really had people from all over the map. I'm kind of a creative person, so this is kind of the way I paint a little bit.
I love it. Oh gosh, this is so good. Do people just come in and do you buy them a beer and then have a sit down, or they buy their own beer? Like, okay.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We make it clear every time because we get this question, do I have to drink if I come to beer church? Right. And the answer is absolutely not. We only meet at breweries that have solid NA options. And so people can have water, kombucha, soda, or not drink at all. Some people bring their dinner. But we're not buying any alcohol, anyone beer. People just come in and do their thing. And we give away a bunch of super soft t-shirts. I feel like I listened to the Reverend, Brooke Scott when you had her on, and they talked about these super soft t-shirts, and I am a big, oh my gosh, it's gotta be tri-blend. It's gotta be soft, and ooh, I'm not selling you 100% cotton. I'm sorry.
So how did you get from Wisconsin to Minneapolis? Like, is that like a church plant or how does that work? What am I missing here? Or is it where you're growing?
Yes, we're growing and figuring it out. All of this is a big holy experiment. You know, we just keep trying to chop our way through the spiritual jungle. We live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and Minneapolis is an hour and a half away.
Okay.
And we have a lot of community over there. And so it just made sense for us to drive over and kind of get it started. So we're in the process of building our team in Minneapolis. Lots of opportunity in Minneapolis. You know, that Evolving Faith Conference was hosted there last year. So we just keep meeting more and more people who feel a need, who don't fit like me and others, and are trying to figure this thing out. We do yoga church now at the library, which is just approachable yoga, super chill, soul care, restorative yoga with a little hot tea and honey afterward. And trail church is in the works right now, where we can just take a walk in a safe space in the community outside. And so we're just in the, we're living into this. What's that common phrase I keep hearing all the time? You know, when you do this work, you keep hearing the same quotes over and over again from different people. And there's one that's something like, we're trying to live our way into a new way of thinking instead of think our way into a new way of living. And this has been a lot of building the plane while up in the air and screws are flying loose and we're trying not to crash.
Wait a minute. I love a good quote. And I've never heard that one before. Repeat it again. That was a mic drop.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sometimes I talk too fast. we're trying to live our way into a new way of thinking instead of thinking our way into a new way of living.
I love that.
That's gonna
end it up might be that. Richard Rohr or Henry Nouwen. I don't know.
I like that. I'm going to switch gears for a second, kind of get your thoughts. So, you know, it's the talk of the town. All of my teams are out of the Super Bowl. So who do you have? Are you watching the game? Are you watching the game? Or are you just there for commercials?
I can tell I'm on this call with an Enneagram 7. I love the different topics. Yeah, I'm on 49ers. I'm just, okay. I didn't get into the whole Chief thing. I think that I always vote for the underdog a bit and kind of tired of one team winning all the time or whatever. Yeah. But
okay.
The whole Kelce Swift thing is just, oh, I can't, you know, I can't, I just can't even. So, although my wife loves following that, it's really engaged her and our daughter, Fiona. Now Fiona likes football. So,
I mean, you got to take the wins how you get them, right?
I guess so. I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Jesse, who are you? Oh, did I ask you this? Do we find... Oh, because you already posted.
I'm only rooting for the commercials. I'm interested to see how Usher's going to do at the halftime show. I'm
yeah.
Commercials. I want to see Reba sing and Audra sing the national anthems.
Yes.
But football-wise, go sports.
Oh, yeah. So Usher's performing, right?
Yeah. I want to see who he brings out.
I think he could stand alone.
I think he can too, but...
This is an ignorant question. Is Usher still relevant today in 2024 that he can stand alone?
That's a good question.
I think so.
I think he can. I mean, he had a Vegas residency, that's right? Fair. And he was there for almost 2 years. So he's got a new album coming out.
Oh, he does.
If you are going to be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl, you need to market it. I mean, you don't get paid for it. So it's the best marketing ever. So right. You should. You mm-hmm. should. I don't if your management tells you no, you shouldn't, then you need new management. I'm sorry. Like
well yeah. and also Usher. Let's not forget that Usher can dance.
That part.
I mean, Usher is a performer. I don't think the younger generation hasn't seen that. So hopefully he brings that out.
Yes. And they will see that. And then they will be like, oh, that's why he was chosen.
Mm-hmm. Also, you might see a lot of people with metal in their teeth or fun teeth after this performance, because his latest song is called Dientes, which is Spanish for teeth. And I've seen like the grill start to come back a little bit and people putting fun things in the mouth. Sorry, that was a weird way to say that, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, look out.
I agree. And I just feel like it's going to be very 2000. Like he's going to bring out all the Atlanta, like all of the 2000 songs, because that was his heyday.
I think that's what people are looking for.
Right.
I mean, when you think about who was it a couple years ago, Dre came with Snoop and Eminem came out and 50 Cent. And it was just like a tribute to what made them famous. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It was an amazing show. It was simple and people loved it because it was like their greatest hits.
Yeah.
And I think right. if Usher doesn't do that, then people are gonna be like,
yeah.
If I don't hear You Got It Bad, like I'm gonna be a little bit disappointed.
Exactly.
Or you don't have to call or confessions. Yeah,
right. Exactly. All right. So well, in the spirit of Brian, go 49ers. I don't even know who's on the team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't ask me about names either. I think that's I'm glad this podcast is not about that.
All right. So what else happened in pop culture this week? There was the Grammys.
Grammys. Mm-hmm. Which we can just call that the tribute to Tracy Chapman and Joni Mitchell.
Oh my God. Okay, first of all. that Joni Mitchell song is probably my favorite Joni Mitchell song. And I think she was just so tickled that people loved her so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can definitely tell she's 80 years old and like she's aged a little bit, but right. I still thought that she performed beautifully.
I thought so too.
Like, from what I can tell, from what she's been performing, that style of them just kind of sitting there on stage, her like on her throne of sorts.
Uh-huh.
Like, with Brandi Carlile just sitting next to her playing the guitar. Like,
yes.
It just is this, let's just sit around and hang out. And like, just all my friends sitting here.
Yeah. It did. It was giving, I'm in my living room. With my favorite people kind of vibe. It was so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I think they took notes from even like during the pandemic, there was those Tiny Desk concerts that NPR put on. And apparently over 30 people that have performed on Tiny Desk won a Grammy at the Grammys. And I love that living room vibe. I think no matter how you argue with that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Miley Cyrus, surprisingly, Miley Cyrus winning her first Grammy. That was shocking to me.
That she won or that this was her first Grammy?
That was just her first Grammy.
Yeah. And then she ended up winning a second one that night, too.
Yes. Yeah. I think she got Best Pop Song of the Year and then Record of the Year.
So I didn't see, I wasn't watching the Grammys live, but I just watched all these clips afterward. And there was one where she was performing. And did she like interrupt her song to say, I want a Grammy?
Oh yeah, she's like, I do.
She had to lift her whole song. At one point, she was like stopped and was like, don't pretend like you don't know the words. And it energized the whole crowd because it was like the one song of 2023 for a long time.
Yeah.
She just kept ad-libbing. And then right as she was getting into that bridge part. I started to cry and then I remembered I just won my first Grammy and like let her backup singers do the rest of the work for her.
It was a cool clip. It seems like she just came in like amped. She just seemed like she was amped and brought the energy.
She did.
From what I could tell. So
she did. She did.
Well, from what I remember from her speech, like she got there like right before they called her category. Like she said she was running late in traffic,
had her phone in her hand,
got to there like basically right before they called
her category. Maybe that was part of it.
She was not the only one either. There were a few people that were like stuck in traffic getting to LA.
It's LA and it's Grammy night. I mean, yeah. But yeah, she had the first, her category was the first category of the night. Mm-hmm. And so, I think I watched it live and it did kind of feel like Trevor's monologue, like he cut it.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel like that, like he was running out of stuff to say, like, I don't know. So that might have had something to do with it too. But I just thought it was so cute that Mariah Carey presented her with the award and then she told the butterfly story.
Yeah.
Because that was like Mariah's like one of her biggest hits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, you know, the elephant in the room is the icon award. You know, that so Jay-Z got up there and like did a whole mic job to the Grammys. And you know, okay. I would not call myself a Swiftie. I think by age, I don't think I should be. I don't know.
Oh, Swifties transcend every generation.
They do. Okay. So, yeah. But I don't think I'm a Swiftie, but I also, what I've been hearing over the, since Sunday, right, is so many different things. And I wish we would stop living into binary thinking. Like if we're all supposed to be on this road to deconstruction and dismantling, that there is no either or thinking. Like you can like Taylor Swift and agree with everything that Jay-Z said. Like you can you can live in that. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's very much of a nuance. And, And so, yeah, I just, you know, so I do want to be like, you know, it is not about people being like jealous or hating on Taylor. There can be two things can be true.
Right.
And we learn that all the time. And I remember last year when this comes up every year, that either when Beyonce is nominated or even when she's not, it always comes up. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that New York Times article where the anonymous vote caster was like, admitted why he does not vote for mm-hmm. her, because it's like, well, she wins in all the other categories. It just doesn't make sense. And you want to know what else I found out? So Candy Burris, who is songwriter across board, not just R&B, but got her start in the girl group Escape, has been on the Real House of Atlanta for past 14 seasons. Shared when she was so everybody that has a some type of like card, it's kind of like whatever it's called for musicians, it's like the SAG card for actors, right? So mm-hmm. if you have this musician card, you get to vote. Mm-hmm. Everybody votes, and then it's like, and then the top 10 of those votes go to another committee. And then there is a secret committee. And when she was, as she's telling this story, I think on a podcast this week, I immediately thought, what in the white supremacy? So it is a secret. It's a secret committee that votes. And if you don't know, you don't know. And it just reminds me of how, like, the same stuff happens in churches, right? Like, because if you don't know people, you just keep electing the same people over mm-hmm. and over, because it's based on who you know. And, like, y'all shaking your heads, so I think you agree with me.
That phrase, what in the white supremacy, we should frame that.
Because I just don't understand, like, this whole secret society mess. I think that is what, so if nothing else, I think that's what needs to be dismantled. You can like who you want to like. I'm not knocking anything about Taylor Swift. I mean, I would, like, as someone who identifies as a feminist, I'm a feminist for all people, for all women. And I always want to see how people can use their platform for good. So mm-hmm. it would be great for me to hear her one day. But also, I realize that she's 34. That's not probably in her. She not even. When I was 34, I can't say I was thinking for everybody. I was really like out here living for just now. Jesse, you're around that age.
35, yes.
Okay. But you also have like this old soul, like not to call you out or anything, but.
Well, I think you're right though. We want to know who's behind all these decisions. And this is the age of authenticity. And it's like, we want to just, we want to know. No more secrecy. show me who's actually on the team. Because sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
I did kind of want to know, like, obviously Jay-Z was just sort of like pissed in general about the album of the year category. But I kind of really wanted to know who he thought didn't belong. And like, I, in my head, I was just like, I wonder who's on the list that he thinks like they definitely should not have. This is trivial compared to what we were just talking about.
No. Yeah. But like, of like, course.
Who was it? I mean, say what you want about Taylor. She is a powerhouse. And like, her album did do really well this year. I do think she deserved to be in the category.
I don't think she should have won, though.
You should have won.
I thought Miley Cyrus's album was much better, and Billie Eilish's album.
Yeah, I don't. But
I don't think it's just about the music, though, right? It's not just about the music, right?
For album of the year,
I mean, there's more to it. There's more influencing it than just the sound, right?
Right. I think so. I believe you're right, but I'm not sure.
Sorry, Jesse. I feel like I interrupted.
No, you're fine.
Do you know the criteria? And I mean, it's not, as far as sales, it was never going to win. But John Baptiste's album was pretty good too. Like, if you like music, like, mm-hmm. But I mean, first of all, I don't understand why there was so many nominations. It was like 9 of them. That mm-hmm. was a lot. That seemed like more than usual. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't watch the Grammys live, so I don't even know who all the nominations were. And I feel like I am failing right now at contributing to this guy. What I wanted to know was how Beyonce felt when Jay-Z kind of stood up for her and brought up that point, because it almost, in a way, this was a completely different, of course, different situation when like Will Smith got up and slapped Chris Rock.
Yeah.
But it was another instance of like the man getting up for their partner to kind of defend a little bit on stage. And I wonder, just how Beyonce felt, if she was like pissed at Jay-Z later, or if she's like, hey, thanks for doing that.
I think, well, we'll never know, because Beyonce does not talk. we will
it's
only know
albums where she therapizes her entire feelings, but then that's right. It.
we will know 2 years from now when the new album comes out. She's gonna put it all on wax. But if she was okay with it, then we should all be okay with it, right? That's what I feel about marriages. Like, you know, if the spouse likes it, who are we to say he did something wrong or not? I think that to me, I was more impressed. Well, that's how you use your platform, right? Like, sure. You use platform in that way to call out things that just don't make sense, right? So, and you know, and the whole, you know, just show up, you know, you gotta keep showing up. So that was my takeaway from it. So the album of the year, people, was Midnights by Taylor Swift, Lana Del Rey, Olivia Rodrigo. Guts was Olivia is just in a, I don't know, her young mind. I mean, she taps into her fan base and they love her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie, when she was on Today's Show, I was like, oh, I like this song. SOS by SZA, The Record, Phoebe Bridgers. I'm not familiar with her. World Music Radio. John Baptiste, that's the album that I have, that's my writing out. When I'm in a writing mode, turn on. The Age of Pleasure, I did not, that's Janelle Monáe. I have not listened to that album, but every single person who went to her concert last year said it was amazing.
I'm not familiar with that.
The Age of Pleasure.
By who?
Shauna Bowman went.
It was by Janelle Monáe.
Bowman went. They said it was amazing. Like, yeah. Everybody I went to that saw Janelle. Wait a minute. Is she going by they, them now?
I think she goes by she, they.
Okay. All right. And then it was Summer Vacation. That Miley Cyrus album is a hit. I'm trying to tell you. Like, I don't know why we sleeping on that.
Because I think it's Miley Cyrus, and people still can't either get past Hannah Montana or her, Bangers performance with, the VMAs like 10 years ago, 12 years ago?
When she was like 20?
Yeah,
that was wild.
Like grinded on what's his face, whose name I can't remember because he's not relevant anymore.
Right.
Robin Thicke. That's who his name.
Oh,
Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, he sure is not relevant anymore. Poor thing.
Are we all going to be relevant in 10 years? What do you think?
I mean, I hope so.
We'll see what happens.
Before we do rapid fire questions, Brian, I'd like to ask you, like, where can people, like, you have a website for Beer Church, and how can people donate?
Yeah. So the website is, it's all, so Beer Church is just a part of our nonprofit called Get Jesus Fit. So you can go to getjesusfit.com. Kind of a weird name, I know. We're still working through this from a marketing and branding point of view. But what the common thread is spiritual wellness. And so we're just encouraging people to be spiritually well. We forgot that Jesus offers free healthcare. Let's be honest. And that, you know, half of Jesus' miracles were healing miracles, and we need a healer now. Our world's broken, so let's get back to this. And so I think just doing these simple spiritual practices that bring us together, that help us connect with the divine, that that encourage us to breathe and rest and be who we are, I think are really important to us. So I think that's the foundation that the nonprofit is built on, is just that desire to be spiritually healthy and well. And that came from, I've been through some church trauma. So for me, some of that's real personal. So getjesusfit.com, and then you can click on events and you'll see Beer Church and Yoga Church and Book Church and yeah, all this stuff. I think we might be overdoing it with the use of the word church, but we'll, like I said, we're figuring that out.
Cool. Well, we have 10 rapid fire questions. Jesse will start. Well, actually, they're 12. And Brian, all you just do is say the first thing that comes to your head, to your mind.
Oh, geez.
Okay. All right.
All right.
God, so what, help me.
Don't, it's no pressure. What's your go-to beverage?
Water.
It's so healthy.
I mean, beer, but that makes me alcoholic. So I like beer, but go-to? I mean, if I'm going to the sink, I'm getting some water.
Like, you go to the fridge right now, what are you pulling out of the fridge?
Well, I don't have any water in the fridge. But I don't. I like some of the carbonated water.
That's fair.
But that it's expensive now.
It is expensive.
Here's key lime. That's a great flavor.
This isn't a rapid fire, but I guess I feel like it's becoming more and more relevant. Do you carry a reusable water bottle with you around?
Oh, that is interesting.
You don't. You use plastic water bottles.
No,
like, you know, this is what don't I, green people do not help with Brian.
Look, I'm a cross country coach on the side, so I'm all in for hydration, people. Okay, so I'm always telling my students to carry a water bottle around throughout the day, and even our kids, they bring water bottles to school. I guess, like, I'm not away from a place where I can just get free water. So I'm not just lugging it around, but I probably should be.
I was just curious. I was going to ask, like, what was your go-to water bottle? Because there's, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Flask, Nalgene, like, you got to go old school with the Gatorade bottle. Like, I don't know.
We have all these super old water bottles. Do you remember those ones from, like, the 90s where this, like, you know, you got to hold it with two hands?
Oh, yeah.
Way upside down. What are those even called? I don't
They're
know.
Basically coolers. We used to call them coolers.
Yeah. But we do have some Nalgenes. Our daughter Fiona, she's 11 and she likes this Owala. There's an Owala bottle. Yeah, yeah. But we are not a Stanley family. I know there's all these videos about Stanleys. No. Just no.
That shit's expensive. That's
like, and they don't, you hold them in a weird way and they seem heavy and just not practical. Anyway,
they are not practical at all.
Anyway, carry on. Shawnee, your turn.
Favorite streaming platform for watching TV or movies?
Oh, probably depends who I'm watching with, but I've been kind of into Amazon Prime lately.
Cool. Are you a Spotify or Apple Music person?
Spotify.
Disney or Nickelodeon?
Disney.
Would you rather go to a concert or a comedy?
Wait a minute. Who watches? Is Nickelodeon even a thing? Did I miss something?
I know Nick Jr. is.
I know, but is there like a Nickelodeon for adults? Because I might watch that. I want to see someone get slime, man. Sorry.
Would you rather go to a concert or a comedy show?
Oh, man. I think I'm getting into these comedy shows. I want to laugh.
Yeah.
Leftover pizza, heat it up or eat it cold?
What a great question, Shani. I like to eat it cold. I do. It's amazing. Cold pizza?
What gives you hope?
Oh, we're going from cold pizza to hope? Gosh. What gives me hope? I don't know. These kind of like shows like this, podcasts like this, conversations with different people that break me out of my little white person bubble that show me kind of a new way. Actually listening to that Reverend Brooke Scott. Wow. That was awesome. I kind of want to meet her somehow. So how's that going to happen?
we'll tag her on this podcast. When we
I just really, I just felt like, whoa, cool. I need to meet her. I'm a social person, so meeting people is what gives me hope. Yeah,
we'll connect you. Don't worry. We'll connect you.
And this is why I wanted him on the show, because that was like...
I was made for these rapid-fire questions.
One word to describe how you feel right now.
How I feel right now? Well, I'm thinking about cold pizza. I feel excited. I feel excited about the conversations that our little rogue outside the church ministry has opened the door to talk to people we never would have met. And I feel so energized by conversations like this and all the people, the beautiful people, very different from me, that we've been able to meet through this. So never would have done that if we never stepped out. So.
What's your goal for 2024?
Eat cold pizza, more cold pizza. I have a lot of fitness goals. Are we talking like weight loss goals here?
Open to interpretation. Open mind.
I need to probably watch the Grammys live next year. Shani. You know, I felt kind of FOMO there.
Just make sure you watch the Oscars so that Shani can text you and be like, did you watch it? We got to talk about it.
Yeah. To text more with Shani. That's my goal for the new year. I would just say to stay spiritually, I guess to keep understanding what it means to be spiritually healthy and lead from that place of health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And connection to Jesus, not white Jesus, you know, the real Jesus, right?
One thing we should know about you.
One thing. I like to take walks. I know that sounds really lame. I could have said something way cooler.
I mean, you started with water. It's on par.
I guess it's on par with water. I'm lame. I mean, don't hang out with me. Well, I like to walk, and I like to walk in the woods, and I like just that clears my head, and I need that. I'm a creative person, and I just need time in nature. And I need time off the grid, even though I'm an extrovert. Some people don't know that about me. And I do love, speaking of Usher and dancing, our family likes a good dance party.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were on the dance floor the whole night at the sneaker ball.
At the sneaker ball at the retreat. Yeah. Yes. I had to, you know, some of that was trying just to be a good role model for the group. You know, you get a bunch of Bible and theology and ministry people in a room. It's not the most exciting group sometimes. You know, the beer helped. They served a little beer that night. And yeah, I was out there with my beer.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to set the standard for everybody else. With Tomoji was out there.
Yes.
It. And who else? Gosh. Michael.
Yes.
I don't remember you being out there too much, Shani.
No, I wasn't. I don't have any rhythm. I'm a very good chair dancer, though.
You just gotta move your shoulders.
What's a song right now, either on Spotify, in the radio, on the car, or whatever, that's on repeat for you right now?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I need to pull up. Okay, I've been doing this workout in my house. And trying to, you know, get fit in the new year, like we're all maybe trying to do without breaking the budget. So no gym membership for this guy. But I guess I would say there's like this, the Creed soundtrack. There's like there's an anthem on the Creed movie soundtrack that just gets me pumped up. And I can't remember what it's called, but some of those songs from Creed 2, called like hardcore workout mix. I don't know. And you gotta walk around with the headphones on while you're doing it. That makes all the difference. I mean, you can really get in the, like, if you've got the, you know, the headphones. Yeah. Oh man, that puts you in the zone. It also doesn't bother the rest of your family.
Awesome. And the last question, Brian, what does love mean to you?
Oh, wow. What a great question. Well, the first word that pops into my head is just listening. I feel like we were raised in a Christian culture that was known for telling everybody who to be, and we forgot to listen. And we never actually got to know people, so we didn't accept people. And I think if you really listen, if you approach people with that posture, with your ears wide open, you just learn a lot, and you give them space to be themselves. And we've been trying to, that's hard to teach people how to do that. So if you guys know, let me know. But just listening and not trying to twist people into versions that we want them to be and get them to fit into our box, but listen and then set them free.
That's awesome. The Embracing Race podcast tackles all topics from pop culture to faith and the intersectionality of white supremacy and racism. Nothing is off limits as we hope to educate and transform with radical love. Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Embracing Race is available wherever you get your podcasts. Would you like to support the Embracing Race podcast? Great, we want you to. Check out our Facebook page today for a link of how to donate. All who donate get a shout out in an upcoming episode. Shout out to the following sponsors. The Embracing Race podcast is sponsored by the Gen Out Youth Chorus. Gen Out is an outreach ensemble of the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington, D.C. Gen Out's mission is to give young LGBTQ+ youth and their allies a voice to connect to the community. The ensemble is open to all singers between the ages of 13 and 18. Visit www.gmcw.org for more information. Interwoven Congregation's mission is to organize and support partnerships between faith communities with different racial compositions in order to foster racial justice and healing. For more information, please visit www.interwovencongregations.org. HOD Records,
is a talent and artist development company that specializes in artistry development and content creation. Serving the DMV and beyond, HOD creates a family-centered management style that promotes a collaborative spirit. Check out HOD Records on all social media platforms and visit hodrecords.media for more information. Thanks to all of our sponsors for their continued support.